Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast, made on Varick Street at WNYC.
And now, Soundcheck looks back at the pop charts of yesteryear and asks,
that was a hit?
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
They're coming to take me away, haha.
Time now for another installment of That Was a Hit, Soundcheck's look at puzzling chart success, and today we are joined by our frequent guest, Chris Melanfi. Hey, Chris.
How are you, John?
Good. Today we're going to look at a number one hit from 1962 by The Tornadoes.
Yes. The Tornadoes, not to be confused with the Texas Tornadoes. That's a different group.
This is a British band?
This is a British band, and that's an important detail because a year, more than a year before the Beatles, they were the first British group to have a number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 here in the United States.
And that number one hit was?
Telstar.
Telstar.
And if that doesn't sound like the name of a big top 40 hit, that's because it was named after a satellite. Come back with me to the age of the Cold War.
Right.
The year of the Cuban Missile Crisis. And it's been now several years since America's been quaking in its boots because Sputnik got up in the air before we put anything up in the air. And that summer, a satellite was launched by NASA and AT&T in the summer of 62. And it was the first, this is an important detail because, of course, Americans, we have great pride in our firsts, right? It was the first active direct relay communication satellite as opposed to Sputnik, which didn't actually serve any
useful function.
Useful communications function. Oddly, though this was an American project, this British group named their first big hit after Telstar.
And it actually begins with the sound of a rocket firing.
That's right.
Chris, I'll bite. That was a hit?
Seriously, yes.
Where are the words?
Okay, good point. 1962 is also not only a big Cold War year, it's a big year on the U.S. charts, on the Billboard Hot 100, for instrumentals. The 60s in general was a better time for instrumentals. You know, you had all sorts of instrumental hits, everything from the theme from A Summer Place in 1960 to Grazing in the Grass by Hugh Masekela in 1968. Instrumentals used to go to number one, and 62 was the absolute peak. There were three number one instrumental hits in 62. The closest year I could find anything approaching that was 1975 at the start of disco, where you had songs like The Hustle. But, like, 62 was really the peak. There was
although even with The Hustle, you had Do the Hustle.
Very good point. There were like a couple of words in that song. Yeah. Right. Three pure instrumental number one hits in 1962. The first one is actually sort of statistically important. It's this strange clarinet song by a gentleman who calls himself Mr. Acker Bilk, and it's called Stranger on the Shore. That went to number one earlier in the year. It turned out to be the biggest hit of the year. Mr. Acker Bilk, jazz clarinetist
from
England. And the reason I bring that up is he was the first British act of any kind to top the U.S. chart. So first it's him, then it's the Tornadoes, whom we're talking about. In between, there was an instrumental number one hit called The Stripper. If the song that's in your head right now is the one you're picturing, yes, that Stripper by David Rose Orchestra.
We'll be right back.
number one instrumental hits in 62.
Wow. So it's instrumental. We mentioned it starts with the sound of a rocket ship firing.
Right.
And then it has this kind of sound of surf guitar.
Totally.
Except there is no guitar. What is that?
Okay, so the main instrument you're hearing is something called a clavioline. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's sort of a battery-powered proto-synthesizer that sounds like an organ crossed with a calliope with a little hint of theremin. And that is actually played by not any of the five nominal members of the group. It's played by the producer, Joe Meek. And he's probably the most important figure. He's the reason this song exists. He wrote the song, he produced the song, and he's a very, very interesting figure. AllMusic calls him legendary, eccentric, and enigmatic. He's a producer who couldn't sing. He had limited playing ability. Reportedly, when he was recording in the studio, he had to, you know, hum or sing, and others would take notation. But he's an important figure in early rock and roll. He's sort of a British Phil Spector, and he's one of the first independent producers. And he's kind of the prime mover behind this record.
And therefore, he was the subject when a plagiarism accusation arose.
That's right. There was a French song called La Marche d'Austerlitz from a 1960 film called Austerlitz. The basic melody is somewhat similar. I'll talk later about how that all turned out, but they did sue him over the melody, which is pretty similar.
Let's listen. So that is La Marche d'Austerlitz from the 1960 film Austerlitz, a French composer who noted a strange familiarity in this big hit from the British band The Tornadoes. Listen again to The Tornadoes' song Telstar. It's the same series of notes.
It's basically that three-note figure you hear, that da, da, da. That's the kind of the core.
Da, da, da,
yes.
Da, da.
Yes.
Except, it. I mean, well, listen.
Yeah.
So that's The Tornadoes, their song Telstar.
Yep.
I mean, the melody, you know, if you wrote it out on paper, the shape of it would be the same, but the feel is very different.
Very different, yeah.
How did the lawsuit turn out?
The lawsuit turned out in Joe Meek's favor in the end. They found that the similarity was not strong enough to warrant, finding in favor of the French composer.
And yet this story, this kind of story of unexpected success, has a very sad ending.
It does. Joe Meek, for all of his importance to the British music industry, he died, I hate to say it, in a murder-suicide. He actually had a shotgun that he confiscated from one of his band members. And then in a rage, he killed his landlady and then himself. In early 1967. The real tragic irony, he was depressed on a number of levels, but, you know, certainly the Austerlitz lawsuit was one of the things that had him so despondent. The finding in his favor came 3 weeks after his death, which is a really, really sad irony.
So The Tornadoes, a one-hit wonder?
Total one-hit wonder. They appeared on the Hot 100 one more time down in the 60s, but this was it for them. They were an instrumental group. They sometimes backed other groups, but under their own name, this was it for them.
The song Telstar from The Tornadoes, yes, that was a hit. Chris Malanfi, good to see you again.
Always great, John. Thanks.
Soundcheck is a production of WNYC in New York. Find out more about our show at soundcheck.org or just download the new WNYC mobile app. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.